Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, because of what you've accomplished on our behalf through your Son, Jesus, that you hear our prayers and that you answer them. And we commit all that we've been praying to you now. And thank you that you will answer them, Lord. And as we turn now to look at your word, to think about what it means, Father, we pray that by your Holy Spirit you would teach us, Lord, not just with knowledge and understanding of what it means, Lord, but you would teach us in a way that impacts our hearts, Lord, that transforms us, that makes us look a bit more like Jesus. We pray this in the name of Jesus and for your glory alone. Amen. Okay, so this morning we're back in our series on the one another's. We're thinking again about what it means to be a Christian community. So if you've got your Bibles, and if you don't have a Bible, don't worry, there's a bunch at the back that you can just go and grab if you want to. But we're in Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to start reading at verse 1. Galatians chapter 6, start reading it at verse 1. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. If you want to flick on to the next slide there, Harry, for us. So, have you heard the inspirational story of this guy here, Derek Redmond? Maybe you've seen the footage. Derek was a 400-meter runner, and he was a very good one. And he'd made it to the final of the 400 meters at the Barcelona Olympics in 1992. And he had a really good chance of medaling and maybe even winning the race. And everything was going well up until the 200-meter mark when suddenly his hamstring went, and he collapsed in a heap on the track. And this happens from time to time in athletics, but what happened afterwards doesn't happen very often, because he got up and he started to try and limp his way around the track. The pain of the injury and not achieving his dream etched on his face, just like we see in the picture. But then after a few minutes, an older man runs onto the track, evading the stewards who are trying to stop him. And he goes up to Derek, and he takes Derek's arm, and he puts it round his neck, and they start to walk together. That man was Derek's dad, and he just walks with him. And he waves away all the officials who are trying to get on with the next event, and they just keep going slowly, and eventually they make it to the end of the race. Now, I'm sure there were world records at that Olympics. I'm sure that there were incredible performances from other athletes at that Olympics, but this was its defining moment. It's the moment that it is most remembered for. Bearing one another's burdens is our topic this morning, and I think that this image of Derek and his father is a helpful one to hold in our minds as we go. But the imperative to bear one another's burdens is found in a much larger section in Galatians, where Paul is teaching the Galatians how it is that they should interact with each other. It's a bit like what we're doing, actually, in our series on the one another's. And what we've just had in the previous chapter is an exhortation to not live according to the flesh, but to live according to the Spirit, to be patient, to be kind, to be good, to be faithful, to be gentle, to be self-controlled, to display the fruit of the Spirit. And what he's doing in our passage this morning is Paul is giving us an example of how we can do this, of one of the ways that we can do this, and that is to bear each other's burdens. And our section this morning has three parts. So verse 1 is a specific example of burden bearing. Then verse 2 is the instruction to burden bear. And then verses 3 to 5 is a warning about burden bearing. And as an Irishman, it's entirely reasonable to start with what is second before we look at what is first. And that's what we're going to do. And actually, in this instance, it is logical to do so. So, instruction. Look at verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, the Greek word that is used here for burden literally means a weight or a heavy load. And what comes into my mind when I think of a weight or a heavy load is something that I used to watch when I was younger. I don't know if you've ever seen it. I don't even know if it's still on TV, but it was a competition called The World's Strongest Man, where these terrifying men with enormous muscles and sometimes actually enormous bellies. I don't know how those two things go together, but anyway. They would battle it out with shows of strength. And one of the events is this event that we have in the picture called the Atlas Stones. And what they had to do was carry these five massive concrete balls and put them on a stand. And they would get heavier as you went from one to the next. And hardly anybody, at least back then, could do all five. It very rarely happened. See, it was a burden that was too hard to bear. It was a burden that no one should have to carry alone. And that's the sort of idea that Paul is getting across, trying to get across here. A burden is anything that should not be carried alone. Then Paul says that they ought to do this because it fulfills the law of Christ. Now, what's that? Hasn't Jesus fulfilled the law when he died for us? Does not mean that we're no longer under it, but free from it? Well, yes, it absolutely does. The law will not save us, but in John's Gospels and the epistles that he's written, he holds up two types of love as a new commandment. So you have God love and neighbor love. And what John says to us is that these things are what Jesus wants from those who trust in him. Actually, more than that, he says that these things are the things that must be displayed in the life of a Christian if their faith is genuine. And then John also ties this God love and neighbor love to the love that God has for us. In fact, that's the foundation of our love. It's what it's based upon. It's the catalyst for our love. We love because he first loved us. But what does that have to do with burden bearing? Well, to bear one another's burdens is to love one another. But it is also to imitate Christ, because that's exactly what Jesus did on the cross, isn't it? He bore our burdens for us. He took our burdens upon himself and died for us that we would not die under the weight of the burden of sin that we had. So burden bearing, Paul's telling us and the Galatians, is one way that we ought to express our love for each other. But what does it look like in practice? Well, let's go back to verse 1 and look at our example. Paul says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. The first thing to notice about that is that burden bearing is universal. If anyone is, no one should be denied the chance of having their burdens borne. But then what does it mean to be caught in transgression? Well, up until this week, up until I'd had a closer look at this passage, I just thought that Paul meant if someone got caught red-handed. But the Greek word has a slightly different meaning to that. It actually means to be overcome by or to be overtaken by. So Paul has in mind those who are trapped in a cycle of sin where the sin has a controlling influence on their life. And notice that Paul doesn't say if someone comes to you confessing their sin to you, nor are we told specifically that we should do this if we see it in the lives of a brother or sister. But I think that both are implied here, and actually both require the same framework to make it possible. If you're going to notice burdens in people's lives, and if they're going to be prepared to share them with us, then, well, we need to know each other well enough to be able to be honest, to be able to see that something's not quite right. We need deep, real relationships. And we've got a problem, really, in a church of our size, because we can't know that many people. We can't know 150 people like this, but we do need to know some people like this. We need to have people in our lives who are going to call us out when they notice something in us that is not quite right, who notice when we're not ourselves. And we need people in our lives who we can be truly open and honest with. And really what we want to do with small groups is make that a place that provides an opportunity to do this. So please think strongly about getting involved in one if you're not already. And if you'd like to, just come speak to me and I'll sort you out and show you where you could go. Now, so everyone should have their burdens borne, and we need to know people well enough to see their burdens and for them to feel that they can share them with us. But who is the us? Who should do the burden bearing? Well, Paul says those who are spiritual. Now, in the 21st century, the idea of being spiritual is a kind of blasé term, really. It doesn't really mean anything to say, well, I'm spiritual. But back when Paul is writing, he means something quite different to what we mean today. And what helps us to understand what Paul means is the end of the sentence, because he says that this restoring should be done in a spirit of gentleness. Now, this puts it within the context of what's gone before, of the fruit of the Spirit. And so those who are spiritual must be those in 5:25 who live and walk by the Spirit, those who know and trust and live for Jesus. And if that's you this morning, then Paul's exhorting you to be a burden bearer. But then how do we go about it? Well, Paul says, restore them in a spirit of gentleness. And again, the Greek meaning of the word for restore is helpful for us. It's actually a medical word. It's used to describe when a broken bone or a dislocated joint is put back into place, is reset. Now, something you might not know about me is that I've broken the same bone in both of my feet. I've broken my fifth metatarsal in both of my feet, which my doctor told me with great relish is a ballet dancer's injury. Now, there are two things that I can tell you, though, about the healing of a broken bone. And the first thing is that it hurts. It's painful. I couldn't put my full weight on my foot without pain shooting up my leg. But the doctor actually told me, and this isn't true, by the way, for all broken bones, but it was true for this one. The doctor told me that it's important that I put some weight on my foot, and that actually it would help the healing process. And the second thing is that it takes time. I was in plaster for about 2.5 months, and even when the plaster was taken off, it was maybe another month before I built up the muscle in my foot again, and I felt like it was back to normal. And these things are true with burden bearing. If we're going to be burden bearers, it's going to be painful, not just for the person with the burden, but for us as well. And it's going to take time. We've got to persevere with burden bearing. And then we have to restore in a spirit of gentleness. Now, I think that this is maybe a characteristic that can often be lacking in the church, certainly has been historically. And it's especially true when the burden is sin. See, often what happens is we get caught up in what a person has done. We emotionally react to it, and the consequence, the result of that, is that we deal harshly with the person. But the Spirit-filled response is gentleness. I think about the woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8. And after Jesus has said, "He who is without sin can cast the first stone," and they've all gone away, what does Jesus turn to the woman and say? He says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." And one of the reasons sometimes we're not gentle is we think that gentleness means acceptance of sin, but it doesn't. And this verse, this passage in John chapter 8 shows us Jesus does rebuke the woman, but he does it gently. And he does it without condemning her, which brings us to our next point. At the end of verse 1, Paul says, "Keep watch on yourself, lest you be tempted." And again, I initially thought that this was just referring to that sin that a person is caught in. Be careful that you don't succumb to it. Now, of course, that is good advice as well. That is something we should do. But in the overall context of the passage, I'm not convinced that that is all that Paul means by it. I think there's a connection here between this verse and verses 3 to 5. And they show us two things that we need to watch out for when we burden bear. And that first thing is pride. Look at verse 3. "For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." I'm going to confess something to you this morning, something which is quite dangerous because it's got potential to bring great annoyance upon me if anyone should seek to use it as an opportunity to wind me up. But I do like to think of myself as quite easygoing, as reasonably difficult to wind up. I lived in a flat with 4 Scottish guys at university who gave it their best shot, I can tell you, on a daily basis. But they did rarely get under my skin. But there is one thing that I just can't stand. It makes me really mad. And that is being patronized. I don't know why, really, but it drives me nuts. Maybe if you were to psychoanalyze me, you'd say I have some sort of inferiority complex or something like that. I don't know, but what Paul says here in verse 3 is that patronization, is that a word? That it has no place in burden-bearing. And yet it's so easy to do, isn't it? To think to yourself in relation to that person as superior to them. They're the ones with the problem. And that's particularly true, again, I think, if the burden is sin. We become a little bit like that Pharisee who looks at that man who's a sinner beating his chest and says, well, thank God I am not like him. Paul tackles this feeling of superiority, bringing us back down to earth with a bang. So much so that what he says seems harsh to us. He says, to think you are something when you are nothing is to deceive yourself. But what does it mean? What does Paul mean when he says that we are nothing? And I think that there is a danger in the Christian life to have a sort of feeling of graduating from being a sinner saved by grace to being something better than that. But it's not true. Even as we get more like Jesus, we don't stop being that sinner saved by grace. You see, on our own, we're on that level playing ground together with everyone who has ever lived in the history of the world. The difference is not us. The difference is that we have been pulled from the miry pit and crowned with grace and love. We've been given this new identity by Jesus. Our identity is in him. It's all of him. It's not about us. Paul's point is that if we're going to bear each other's burdens, we can never forget who we are. Never forget who we are. We are sinners saved by the grace of God. We are who we are because we are in Jesus. So be humble when you burden bear. Watch your pride. Then secondly, comparison, and this is closely related. Look at what Paul says in verses 4 and 5. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. And on first reading, this is kind of a complicated sentence, isn't it? We're like, well, what on earth are you on about, Paul? Why should we bear our own load if we're supposed to bear the burdens of others? Is it not wrong to boast? What is Paul on about here? Well, again, the Greek comes to the rescue because the word for load here is not the same as the word for burden. Verse 2. In verse 2, it's more like the pack a person would carry on their back, a bit like yesterday if anyone went on that walk around Buttermere and people had a backpack. That's the sort of image that Paul is using here. It's not a weight that should not be borne alone. Paul's talking about something different. He's not talking about a burden. And at the start of verse 4, he suggests that they should test their work, which gives us a clue to what he's on about. God has given each of us specific parts to play in his plan for the universe. He's given us all different gifts, hasn't he? Different abilities, different contexts to live out our lives in, different work to do. And when we burden bear, we must not think about how we are doing in our faith in relation to the person that we're bearing the burdens of. And think, well, I'm not doing too badly. I'm not doing too badly. They're doing worse than I am. You see, that is finding your boast in your neighbor. No, rather, we need to look at our own gifts. We need to look at our own abilities. We need to look at our own context and ask the question of ourselves, am I honoring God as I should here? Am I using the gifts that he's given me, the abilities that he's given me to do the work he's prepared for me to do? And at the start of our time this morning, I suggested that we held that image of Derek Redmond in our head, how his father bore his burden and finished the race with him. And I think that if we use that image, it can help us to remember some of the things that we've talked about this morning. So why did his father run onto the track to help his distraught son? Well, I think he was his coach, but he ran on because he loved him. And so it is with us as we bear others' burdens, as we grasp God's love for us. We must love others and so bear their burdens. Then second, as they walked slowly round the track, it hurt. It took much longer than it should have had he been fit to run. So it is with burden bearing. It's going to hurt. It's going to take time. But we must persevere. Then third, his dad doesn't go on and grab him by his shirt and shake him and say, "Hey son, the dream is gone. Just give up. It's over." No, he gently puts his arm round his son and he helps him to the finish line. And so it must be with burden bearing. Be gentle. Listen lots. Walk by their side until they get through it. Nor does he walk before his son and drag him along the track. No, he walks by his side. We must never think that we are superior to those whose burdens we share. To do so is to forget who we are in Christ. And nor does his father think to himself about how he did his job as coach much better than his son did as athlete. To do so would be, well, ridiculous and ludicrous. So it is when we burden bear. God has gifted us differently. He's equipped us differently. He's given us different contexts to live our lives in. The only way we know whether we're running the race well or not is to look at ourselves and to have others look at us and show us where we are not running well. So some questions then to help us as we think through these things. Firstly, am I burdened with a weight I should not be carrying alone? Who could I go to in order to help bear the weight? Similarly, if you've seen someone who doesn't seem quite themselves, seem like they are carrying something with them, we've got a responsibility to go to them and say, "Hey, what's going on? What's wrong?" Then secondly, where does my love for my brothers and sisters in this church, and actually for those outside of the church, where does it need to grow? Then third, have I failed to be patient as I've tried to bear others' burdens? And fourthly, do I have a problem with looking down on others? Am I constantly comparing myself to other people? And it's not wrong to want to be better, to want to do better in our walks with Jesus. But we need to look at ourselves, look at our own gifts and abilities and the work that God has given us to do, and invite others to help us as we do that. And it's going to be an opportunity when we have our kind of quiet time and sharing time to think about these things. But just before we do that, I've just got to mention what's been going on this week in the news. Well, actually, it's been going on for months, hasn't it? But it's just grabbed people's attention because of that horrific picture that we've seen through the week of that little boy who'd washed up on the beach. There's 5 million people in the world, in the news, who need their burdens borne. And as Christians, we, above all, have got to respond to this in some way. Now, there's difficult decisions. It's not black and white what to do here with our government. It's tough, really tough to know what to do. We got to really pray for them as they make decisions. But as the opportunity to reach out to these people comes, I think as Christians we've got to do something. So we need to think, I think, this morning as well, to ourselves, what can I do? How can I help? Now, it might not be as primary a way as those further south, those closer to our ports. But there is something that we can do. There has to be something that we can do to help bear their burdens. Now, as we're going to take bread and wine later, I encourage you to think about the great burden bearer as well. To remember how he's borne our burden of sin. Rejoice in that as well. But we need to think about how we're going to respond to it too. So let me just pray, and then is that okay, Sam, if we just move straight into our open time? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have borne our burden of sin. It was a weight that we were dying underneath, and you pulled it from on top of us, Lord, and you bore it all on the cross for us. And we know, Lord Jesus, that you call us, Lord, not simply to salvation, Lord, but you call us to live for you as well, and to live under this law of love, to love our neighbor and to love our God. We know, Lord, that we don't do this perfectly. Lord, we know that in our own hearts, Father, we, in our pride, don't want to appear weak, don't want to let other people know what's really going on in our lives. We pray, Father, you'd help us to swallow our pride, Lord, to humble ourselves and to say, hey, I'm not okay. I need your help. I need the help of my brothers and sisters in Christ. Help us to develop deep relationships, Lord. Help us to see what's going on. Help us to share what's going on. And help us to burden bear in the way that you've shown us how. Lord, help us to restore each other in a spirit of gentleness. Help us to walk alongside each other and to be patient with each other and to love each other. We pray this in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen.